I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are live back here on Radio Row. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And as we said, you got to stay tuned all afternoon. You never know who's going to stop by as we bring you the biggest stars, biggest entertainers here as we get ready for the game on Sunday.
And we talk so much about, you know, and unfortunately the things that go wrong and guys that get in trouble, whether it's present or in the past. A guy that always repped every team he played for the right way, one of my favorite players in NFL history, and a Seminole, Warrick Dunn, is going to hang with us. What's up, WD?
What's up?
How you doing,
up,
baby?
What's up,
he
man?
Is
what's
definitely
up?
One of our favorites, man. There's no doubt about
I'm
that.
I'm one of your favorites?
Yes. Big time,
man.
Big time.
Walking the walk.
I can't
man.
Say that about everybody.
No.
Okay? You are definitely one of our favorites.
No, but, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Listen, it's here. It's in our home city. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing that the weather helped, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
I think everybody was scared. And it was
right.
A snow day on Tuesday. It was a day for the kids. But you know what? It all worked out. I mean, I was in Minnesota last year mm-hmm. for the Super Bowl, and it was – painful, right? It was painful. And I knew that no matter what happens, Atlanta's going to be better. But, you know, now the weather is 40, 50 degrees. This weekend is supposed to be almost 60. Mm. I mean, it's ideal for, you know, Super Bowls and definitely being in Georgia. I know everyone wants to go to Florida and Arizona. But this is ideal. And we're doing a good job so far of handling all the traffic, all the people coming through.
Big man, let's talk about our Falcons. I mean,
we'll
talk about the big game here. Three-time Pro Bowler, by the way, Warrick Dunn joins us here. We'll talk about the Warrick Dunn Foundation, all the amazing stuff you do outside the world of football. But, I mean, I guess the question is, how quickly can we get this thing turned around? Because we need a running back to stay healthy. We got a guy in Free who I know we're all big fans of.
Yeah, yeah.
But unlike you, who could always get in a hole and avoid getting killed to get the big hit, you always had that knack, it seemed like, for not taking on that big hit. Or maybe you did, I just didn't see it. But, I mean, you think Free can – first thing, can Free bounce back for us?
Well, yeah, I think he has no other choice. When recently he just said that he's one of the best, or the top five, top three, the best in the league. Mm. And you have to back that up by your performance. And he's a talented guy. My challenge to Free would be, you know, if you're going to be an elite runner, we don't need to take all those hits, right? We have to do a better job of protecting ourselves when we run. You have to live for another down. I just think before, he was taking too many hits. And, you know, now that he's a lot older, too, he really understands the game, mm-hmm. can read defenses a lot better. I think we're going to have a better performance. But it has to be a balance, right? It can't just be one-dimensional. We need to be balanced. And if we can be balanced on offense, Free's going to eat, Julio's going to eat, other guys, and Matt's going to do his thing. So we're going to be much more balanced. I think we'll be much more explosive.
I've always been under the impression, Warrick, that a great running back like yourself can make an average or below average offensive line look a lot better. Yet, we continue, and I'm not just saying us, people in our city continue to talk about how bad our O-line is and why it's not what it should be. Mm-hmm. So, where is this? Can we get some, because we're looking for some O-linemen now, can we get some average O-linemen, okay? I'm not saying superstars, Pro Bowlers, all pros. And with what we're talking about with Free and the dynamic of our running backs, does that make them better? How does that work for you when you didn't have as good of offensive lines, but yet you still put up great numbers?
Well, I think my coaches at that time, we tried to put the linemen, the guys up front, in the best position to be successful, right? Mm-hmm. And we supplied guys who needed help with the right help and ran the right system, the right scheme. And as a runner, I wasn't expecting huge holes.
Right.
I'm saying, hey, I just need – this much. If you give me this much, I have to do my part. If I want to say that I'm elite, that I'm this, I'm that, I have to go out and prove it. And, you know, those guys did a good job. Obviously, they weren't the best offensive line, right? But mm-hmm. we played together. I trusted those guys knowing that they're going to always give their best effort. And I had to do my part and be ready to, on every run to be the best that I can be and to be an elite runner. So Free, he's going to have to pressure or press the offensive coordinator, and I think Dirt, he's good play caller,
right.
So things going to be balanced. But we need to make sure we establish the running game. When we went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, we ran the ball efficiently, right? We didn't have a great offensive line. Those guys were – they did their job, but we were consistent, took the plays when they were there, made big plays because you have to have explosive plays, right? My job was to make the guy miss in the open field.
Right.
That was I was responsible for it. I was responsible for a lot of guys, but I was like, hey, I'm going to make the first guy miss. I got to make sure the second and third guy, because I ran against 9, 10 men in the box.
Right, right.
Right. So make that guy miss. Explosive plays, and that's going to be Freeze's job.
Hey, man, it's Warwick Dunn with us, guys, a member of the Falcons Ring of Honor. We still got to find a place to put those names inside the new stadium. Warwick's with us. You bring that up with Arthur next time you see him. You know, the thing is, you bring up, like, the 9 and 10 guys in a box with Mike Vick. They were going to make Mike Vick prove that he could throw it, remember, in, like, 2002 and 3.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, you see some of that, with like, what they did with him, with Mike looked
all
like?
All day. And, you know, playing, I have a buddy who's a Ravens fan, and I'm just like, I'm not a fan of that because I played in it, so I understand it. Is that conducive for success long term? No. We can play well, but that hadn't won a championship,
right?
You can win games during the regular season, but when they can hone in on specific things, and that's what the playoffs about. You hone in on specific skills, what this team does best, what they don't do,
right?
And you exploit that. That puts a lot of pressure on your offense. And, you know, you need a balanced offense.
Tell us about what you're doing, man, with Bridgestone.
Well, Bridgestone, we I have Lula and her son. It was a family from my Homes for Holidays program. Mm-hmm. Immigrants from Ethiopia. We gave them 2 tickets to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
And it's just a great experience for them. Those guys, they've worked hard. Mm. Lula, a tremendous individual, worked hard. She's committed, put her son and herself in a better situation. And of all the families that we picked, we chose Lula and her son to create this life moment that they can come to a Super Bowl and experience something that they would never have the opportunity to do. So partner with Bridgestone. We ran a great piece. I know it's a video everyone can go check out. But, I mean, it's so humbling because her son – he was just like, you did this for me. What can I do for you?
Right.
I mean, that speaks volumes about his mindset and the worth that he has in his life that he's so thankful for that. So it's life-changing, man. I'm thankful to partner with Bridgestone.
And Homes for the Holidays, the Warwick Dunn Charities. You know, we always talk about it. But, I mean, you know off the top of your head how many homes you've built
now,
for folks?
I'm up to 168 right now.
Wow.
168. We're in, like, what? I may get yelled at by my ED. We're in, like, 16 – cities, 10 states, 11 states. So we're growing and we're expanding, and we have a 92% success rate, meaning that families sold their home or they still in their home. So we're proud of it. We just want to continue to impact the community in a positive way.
Well, Carl and I, we always talk about it when he made his rise up through Clemson and out of the NFL. It's just so cool that, you know, Deshaun Watson is one of those kids that is one of the benefactors or beneficiaries of the Warwick Dunn Foundation with that home years ago.
Man, Deshaun's a good kid, and honestly, I had no idea. I had to go back and look at the picture. It's like, oh. But then when I saw the picture, I remembered everything about the house, going down the hill, just the whole situation, and knowing that he was only 11 years old. And he took a blessing, right, for his mom, but we planted a seed early on in this kid's life. And he's taken that and really blossomed to become the Deshaun Watson we all know and love today.
It is amazing, man. Continue to do great work, brother. We appreciate you. Atlanta loves you. We're glad you're here repping our city during Super Bowl 53.
Man, I love the city, man.
I know.
We got the eligibility for Coach Taggart. We need some help down there, man.
I wish I can go back. I really want to go back and get these 37 yards so I can get the 11,000.
That would be funny, wouldn't it? That'd be movie-like.
You know, because all I say is, man, can I even get a boat for the hall? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just want to – I played at 185.
Right.
Right.
Is it like Sky Miles? You can't just buy it and throw it in there?
I wish I could. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. You know, I played the game. I tried to play at the right level, high level consistently, you know. I'm confident in myself. I'm very competitive, so I can go out and get 37 yards.
We're going to ask Coach about that next time we talk to him.
No, we good, baby.
Hey, Warwick, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you always.
You got it, man.
Hey, guys, let's give you a chance right now to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
It's Wagon, W-A-G-O-N, man. Text Wagon to 72881 for your shot at $1,000. And maybe you'll be nice and give that money to charity, like Warwick Dunn's. Wagon, guys, goes to 72881. That's the word for hour number three right here on the game.
He was the coach of the Packers. A lot of people thought he'd be coaching right now. He's not. What's going on with Mike Holmgren? He joins us next live on Radio Row here as we broadcast from the Georgia World Congress Center, guys, at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. One of the great minds in the NFL joining us right now live on Radio Row, Mike Holmgren joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And guys, you want to talk about offensive football? He knows it. He played it. I mean, he's coached some great players. And Mike, I want to bring this conversation to the air because we were having a conversation with Coach, and we're limited with time, but this is probably one of the most interesting things that we've been trying to pick the minds of coaches about.
Right. Coach Holmgren, you know Dan Quinn from your time up in Seattle, and we were just talking about those final 5 minutes or so of our Super Bowl 2 years ago, and you were just saying, boy, you should have won that game, and the situational awareness with the Shanahan. You actually asked Quinn a question we wanted to ask him.
Yeah, I was in the one of my jobs here. This is interviewing both head coaches and both coordinators at the time, so I interviewed Dan, then went and interviewed Kyle, and I said, I knew his dad.
Right.
I know. I said, hey, you're doing a great job. Does the head coach, and it was kind of made it as a little poke, you know.
Right.
Does the head coach ever come up to you and say, don't call that, you know, and he goes, no. I said, no, tell me the truth. And he can come over. Does he ever do that? He goes, he never does. He lets me do it, which is a strength. That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, because I was in a coordinator job once where all of a sudden I called a play. I didn't recognize it. Someone changed it. It was the head coach. So
His name was Bill Walsh.
Yeah, I didn't like that much. So then I'm doing the game, and Julio Jones catches that ball
right
there. And I go,
right there.
I'm in the booth. I said, game over. Game's over. You know, run the ball three times. Knock the clock down, kick the field goal. There's not enough time left, even for Tom Brady.
Two possession game.
Yeah, not even for Tom Brady. And then they didn't do that, and I was surprised. And I said at the time, the head coach has a button.
Right.
You can kick on your head defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. You can talk to him right away. That was one time, and Dan's a good coach. But that was one time his rule of not interfering, which I think was a rule he had. His rule of not interfering at that particular time, because he's in charge of the clock, that time he should have pressed the button and said, Kyle, run the ball. Use all the time, run the ball. And I think
right.
You guys have probably gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Or won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. As we said, you know, before talking with Coach Mike Holmgren here with us, and you're always a coach. Once you're a coach, you're always a coach.
Always.
Yeah, is, you know, the situational awareness, because Dan was taking over the defense. And at that point, much what the Patriots did to Kansas City 2 weeks ago, they just ran us out of gas. We were done. Very young defense. And maybe Dan was trying to rally the troops, were focused on that, but mine was not on the big picture at that time.
Yeah, and that can happen. You got to be careful with that. That's when, look at it, when I was a head coach, I had a coordinator, but I also called the plays.
Right.
But also my responsibilities were game management. I knew I compartmentalized it, and I didn't mess with the defense. The only time I'd mess with the defense, I pushed the button if I thought that we should get after more. They had a plan, and if they were worried about what I would think about anything, I kind of wanted to relieve that from them, and I push them, go after them. If you want to go after them as much as you want to, I'm okay. And then that's it. I wouldn't talk to them anymore. Right. Because I had other responsibilities, and one of them is clock management, and looking at there in the final 2 minutes, certainly, and saying, okay, how do we get this done?
Speaking of that, we're seeing coaches hire clock management assistants. You a fan of that?
No.
Why?
They're paying me to do that. I'm going to do that. I've done it my whole life. I'm going to continue doing it. I had a guy that was – I'll tell you who I hired I hired a replay guy. Tell me if I should throw the flag.
Right.
Okay? Now, I had a replay guy. I think they bust me all the time on the radio. My percentage winning replays was maybe the lowest in the league. But I did hire that guy to tell me.
Yeah, to throw the flag.
Yes.
To throw the flag.
Yes.
It's Coach Mike Holmgren with us. He's taken two teams to the Super Bowl. Seattle, of course, with the Steelers, and I'm winning one with Brett Favre. We've only got a limited amount of time, but Joe Montana is one of our favorite subjects. Coaching Montana and Favre, diametrically opposed as far as how they approach the game, or very similar?
No, they were, first of all, great guys and very different styles.
Right.
I came into the league with Joe Montana, and he was his precision, and he was kind of an artist. He was just – his timing and his footwork and everything. He worked so hard on that. And his delivery is a very accurate thrower. I get Favre taking my system that I learned in San Francisco to Green Bay and I get this young quarterback, Brett Favre, superbly talented, and I'm running the same drills, trying to do the same stuff that I did with Joe, and it's not working. And I'm finally, I was smart enough to figure out, oh, these guys are different.
Right.
So you have to do that. You can't just lock into a system. You have to be willing to adjust as a coach and say, this guy's skill, he can do most of the stuff, but he's not going to be good at this, so I'm not going to make him do that. I'm going to make him do this. And then I think that's when you have a coach and a quarterback trust each other. That's when you have the ability to make your team better.
Coach, it's always a pleasure. We know you got to run. Mm. We could sit here and talk all day because we love your mind.
I want to stay here because you guys have the best seat in the house. This is nice.
Yes, right, we do.
Well, let's ask one more question real quick. Who do you like? Everyone likes the Patriots, obviously, this weekend.
Yeah, I think probably that's a safe choice.
Right.
I think if Jared Goff can, if the game, if as a young quarterback, if he has the type of game that I think he's capable of doing, I think it's going to be a big high-scoring game, and it's going to come right down to the wire.
Coach, thank you so much. Glad to see you're feeling great. You're in great health. Continue to do your thing.
Thanks, guys.
I hope we get you
it.
On next during the season next year. Pick your brain.
There you go.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Holmgren, guys. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live on Radio Row. Coming up, by the way, we're going to get a chance to talk with one of our own. Falcon safety Demonte KZ is on the way. Stay right there as we broadcast live from Radio Row.
Does that make you more upset about how we lost Super Bowl 51?
Yes, because that's one of the all-time greats right there, telling you exactly what should have happened. And so many of us debate whether or not that should have happened. And, Mike, within our own organization, people wouldn't admit that that's what should have happened.
I was over Super Bowl 51 for a minute.
It's already been a very, very busy show down here at the Georgia World Congress Center, guys. It's Radio Row. It's Dukes and Bell. And we invite you to watch us live. If you missed it, the champ was here, Deontay Wilder. Reggie Wayne, very, very interesting stuff from Reggie. And you'll hear that a little bit later on. Talking about a variety of things. The great Warrick Dunn. We just had Coach Holmgren, who, Mike, again, talking from a head coach's perspective about what he thought should have transpired in our Super Bowl. And it's something, again, we've debated, guys. It's water under the bridge. It'll never change. But the one thing that has continued to change is what should have happened. Mm. And when you have coaches agreeing across the board that what Coach just mentioned on this show is what should have happened, you get on the headset and you go, Kyle, run the ball 3 times. Game's over.
Right. I mean, it's one thing you hear us talking about it as passionate Falcon fans, and obviously sometimes we're too close to it, but it was very interesting, and guys are hitting us up on social media. E.L. Avery writes, way to open up Super Bowl 51 wounds with Coach Holmgren, guys. But, I mean, it's one of those guys you want to put that to because he's got a relationship with Quinn. He knows him. There's a very tight, close-knit coaching fraternity, and obviously Mike knows his dad, Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike. So, I mean, it's just to sort of put a the cherry on top of the caca sundae that was how that wound up. But everything we've thought, Mike Holmgren kind of saying, yeah, that's how it should go down. You've got to have somebody out there who's got the big picture in mind.
Demonte KZ is on his way, guys. He had a great season. When you talk about the circumstances in which he stepped in for our injured safeties and Rico Allen and Keanu Neal, I think his future's bright. He's a playmaker, and I've said that time and time again on Twitter, but we're going to get a chance to talk to him now and assess some things after the season. So he's going to join us here in a few minutes. Remember, Resurgence Orthopedics, from neck to toes, muscle and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. They bring you, of course, in case you missed it. And a little bit later on, Mike, we are both looking forward to seeing and talking with. It's been a few years for me. I don't know the last time you spoke with Dan Marino, but it's been a while. And one of the all-time greats and all these passing records and stuff, guys, that we hear about now, and as good as Drew Brees has been, this was the guy that set the bar. And he did it in a time with less games and certainly a different rules.
I mean, you look back at Duper and Clayton, and you look at the amazing success that Dan had his second year. That's a year that we're comparing Patrick Mahomes to, remember, a few weeks ago, as far as, the 5,000 yards and all the touchdowns. Just like you said, there's moments when you're watching a team. Like if you're a Colts fan, see Peyton Manning every Sunday, you knew you were going to win about 10 or 11 games every year and go to the playoffs. And that's kind of where we thought we were going to have here with Matt Ryan and the Falcons. Unfortunately, we've had some injuries, and offensive lines have fallen apart over the last 8 or 9 years. But when I was down in South Florida in the early to mid-90s, Danny Boy, as we call him, Dan Marino, you knew what you were going to get. It was always the show. Problem for the Dolphins and Shula's latter years, they just never had the great defenses, or they didn't have the great running back to complement Dan. Hey, there go the Thunderbirds, by the way, as in like the Air Force, ace pilots that do like the stunt stuff. Very cool. By the way, speaking of stuff in the air, as we're down here at Super Bowl 51, waiting on Demonte KZ from the Falcons with Dukes and Bell, did you see all the helicopters flying around today when you were coming in?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, I live in Midtown, so I'm seeing maybe this was going on down in Houston and we just didn't see it because we were in the convention center. But the Atomic Energy Commission people.
What is that?
Flying around. Who knows? But there's a blue and white chopper, and there's military choppers with it. And I read this in the AJC. The story's about 2 days old. But for people like me, they're going, what are those helicopters doing? Taking baseline radiation readings because they want to compare and contrast that with something that might be an aberration or an abnormality.
That's scary.
Apparently, we've been doing this since 2002 in the Super Bowl when the Saints beat the Rams after 9/11. So it's always been apparently a precaution. But I'm just noticing the helicopters flying around, and it's like, dang.
Yeah, I didn't see that, Mike, but I guess they are preparing for all potential.
Yeah, I mean, things I don't want to think about, basically, but that is one of the things that is part of the build-up for the safety of all the folks that are here in Atlanta this week.
Eric, our engineer, what's up? You're looking at me like you're crazy.
And if you look in each corner, there's these little tubes. They check an air quality for radiation.
Here
in
the building?
Inside every building.
Okay. So, listen, here's what we know. And as a matter of fact, I forget what Coach actually said this, but he was talking about, oh, maybe it was Coach Holmgren, who was talking about he's walking around town, security, police officers everywhere. Feel safe. They are taking every precaution, to your point, to make sure that this thing goes off without a hitch.
And again, in case you wanted to give you the exact name, it's the Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration.
Wow.
So there's an acronym that would be ENSA. Anyway, I'm sure they got a name. But we've been acutely aware, as we said, Carl and I, if you've been listening all week, much more than we remembered in Houston, or for Falcon fans. And again, we're not complaining because, you know, obviously you want to have a police presence to make people feel safe and secure. But, yeah, some things you don't really want to know about. And if there's a Tom Clancy-type character like Jack Ryan running around trying to make things safe, I don't want to know about it. But this is just part of what you do when you got a Super Bowl.
All right, guys, you can always chime in, okay? We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. Lots going on this week. We're down here one more day, and tomorrow we'll try to get into the game a little bit, but it's been one of those weeks, man, and we told you guys it was going to be busy, exciting. But follow the station on Facebook if you've not done so. Also, Instagram, and go check out some of the stuff I posted last night, hitting a couple of places up, a couple of parties. Really cool stuff. Mike's at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 92.
And it's the first chance we've had to kind of catch our breath today because, as we said, it's been like all killer, no filler for the entire show. We had Reggie Wayne on earlier, and for guys that missed it, we'll probably play it for you later in tomorrow's show. But Reggie Wayne, you know, six Pro Bowls, and he'll have a chance down the road for the Hall of Fame, maybe with the Veterans Committee, but a guy that brought his A game, played in two Super Bowls. And one of the things you and I have already always talked about, I know we weren't working together at the time, but, you know, whenever a team gets a run going when they're late in the season and they haven't lost a game, remember back in the day when the Patriots go 17-0, they make that conscious decision. Let's go for it. We're going for the perfection. We're going to obviously do something even more special than the Dolphins because you'd be playing more games if you finish with an undefeated season. Reggie Wayne says a lot of players on that Colts team that were saying, why are we sandbagging against the Jets? Maybe we should be trying to, you know, not rest with a couple weeks left in the season. Let's go for it. And it did, he said in his own, Reggie's own words, it did kind of, you know, get them out of a rhythm.
I don't understand. I don't ever understand why coaches want to take the foot off the pedal when things are going well. And to their example, that was an undefeated team, right? And he said, if we go into the Super Bowl undefeated, if we don't take that break and we rest starters, maybe the approach is different going into the Super Bowl. And I don't disagree with that. I never have understood that. You know, this goes back a couple of years ago, Mike, when our own Falcons, you know, decided to not take their foot off the pedal, and it came back to hurt us when Abe gets hurt.
Yeah, John. I mean, we talked about Mike Smith, who was making the rounds earlier in the week. Smitty decides he's going to play John Abraham in a meaningless game, and he tweaks his ankle. And he doesn't have his A game, unfortunately, to get after, you know, Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers in that game. So,
and that's the other side of it, right? So from a coach's standpoint, we're in the dance. I don't want any of my guys hurt. I'm going to take every precaution. The other side of it is, from a competitor standpoint, Reggie Wayne says, listen, everybody's at the bar after the game looking at each other going, we should have never took that rest. We should have never taken off. So
in some cases, there is a mindset, and it does manifest itself. I mean, you know, you look at us with the Hawks. You know, we didn't have that killer instinct. We didn't have that go-to guy. We had five great players, but we had a 60-win season. We had an unbelievable undefeated January. But, I mean, that's a different set of circumstances. Football, only 16 regular season games in those 17 weeks. So some guys say, go for it, man. Build that momentum all the way through.
Now, while we have some time, guys, I do want you to take a listen to Thomas Dimitroff and Sam back at the studio. Let's go through some of this stuff that Thomas said on our radio station today here on 92.9 The Game. Thomas Dimitroff making his way down here. our general manager. And guys, once we get past the Super Bowl, the focus, a lot of the focus on this show is going to be free agency, because that's going to be the next big thing for us. And obviously starting to look ahead to the combine at the end of February and get some input on some of the potential draft picks. But Thomas was asked today, are you going to try to make a big splash in free agency? Here is how he responded.
It's something that we're definitely, eyes are wide open. I mean, there's no question about that, because, you know, we know that we're always having to make sure that we, A, make sure that you're protecting, you know, your major investment. And obviously, you know, Matt Ryan, it's very, very important to make sure that we have the supporting cast around him. I'm not talking about running routes or running the ball necessarily. We're all talking about making sure that we're shored up in the inside. That's important for us. So we'll continue to look there and see what's possibly available.
I mean, you know that you got to do it through free agency. I mean, we've been talking, speaking of the Colts, we've been talking about this newest addition to the Colts. They were able to address their offensive line through the draft and do it really, really well. But there's a component in free agency. You know, one thing you said all along, what if Fusco comes back and stays healthy? Because he rolled his ankle. It wasn't like, you know, there was something where it was a performance issue. He just, you know, he got hurt. But, I mean, you're still going to have to look at beefing it up, even for depth, because when you guys get injured, we didn't have the guys who could step up and do the job.
This next soundbite, and I want you to hear it, because I think we have specific needs. I think Mike has addressed this is where we need to go, okay? But according to our general manager, he says that this evolves. Like, our needs evolve on a daily basis. Here's what Thomas Dimitroff said.
We talk every day about so many different scenarios, and that's kind of what drives us throughout the offseason. Could be, might have something to do with the financial side of it, might have something to do with the skill side of it, might have something to do with the value side of it. Again, as I've said many times, whether it's the draft or whether it's free agency, there are so many pieces to the puzzle, at least the way that I and Dan approach it, that we always have to be, we just have to be adaptable.
So I get it. He is saying, listen, if we're not able to get our target in free agency, or if we are able to get our target, and then all of a sudden our approach changes heading into the draft because we were able or unable to get our target in free agency,
right,
it evolves every day. It's not that the needs change, but how we approach what positions we are going to go after may change due to how the marketplace works out.
Right. So certainly there's a lot of variables in this equation. How many teams are going to go and spend? And we don't have the money to go get that first year. That's the thing. Thomas talked about this, and he did address it a little bit in the interview today, earlier on the show, on the morning show. You just don't have all the cap space. You know, there's different tiers of free agents. That's why we had Fusco. That would be like a level C guy, you know, and we couldn't go for the guys who were going to get $40 and $50 million guaranteed, which crazy money for guards, I know, but some guys were getting that last year.
So what about Julio, Mike? I think when we left that year-end press conference, we kind of looked at each other. There are no concerns. Falcon fans, Julio's going to get his money. No matter what you think it should or shouldn't be, here's Thomas Dimitroff talking about Julio, his deal.
With Julio, we'll get that done, and I don't really have a timeline on that, but I feel very confident. We've had some good conversations about it.
Done. That's a done deal. 18, done. 19, done. I don't know what it's going to be, Mike.
Well, again, this goes back to our argument about salary cap that Thomas has said. We've got to be bargain shoppers when it comes to the offensive line. Big chunk of your salary cap going to Matt Ryan. And, you know, guys, just, I get guys coming to me on Twitter a few weeks ago, and, you know, Matt should have taken less money. You take less money. You know, it's different about Julio, and we're not playing favorites here. Matt's contract was up. Julio had 3 years left on his deal. Yeah. They gave him a bump they didn't have to. He's got 2 years left on a deal. Now they promise him they're going to give a bump they don't have to. So if you're going to get mad, I mean, look, I know Julio is an amazing athlete, and we're not, as we said, we're not picking favorites here, but you got to understand how the timing worked on this. You knew that Matt was going to be the highest paid guy for about 6 or 7 weeks until Aaron Rodgers got his deal.
Yep, yep. All right, guys, it is Dukes and Bell. A couple more things from Thomas Dimitroff. What kind of player, Mike, do we want at pick 14? That's where we're currently picking in the draft.
There are so many really good football players on both sides of the ball there in the top eight. I mean, there are all the way through, I think, to 214 as well. I think on both sides of the front, you know, you look and see what's out there right now in the draft and those early picks, and I think that's going to fly off the board. And, of course, there are some great linebackers out there as well. So I think both defensively and offensively, where it really counts, you know about this, to be really stout and tough, I think there's some good football players there in those top five, and that's obviously where people were focused.
So here's the thing, Carl. Do you go the best athlete you have on your board at either defensive tackle or offensive tackle? Because what happens if you don't – I know we haven't even talked about Grady. We just assume that Grady's going to get his contract on top of this bump you just mentioned for Julio.
Well, I'm glad you said that. What did Thomas Dimitroff have to say about Grady? Here is what he said.
Grady is the one that we're focused on right now. You know, that's an important thing for us thing when I'm saying about trying to really map out what we're doing financially. I've said this again, we have a good relationship with CAA, and we think we can move through it. There are all kinds of options there. He will be here. I'm very confident with that, and we want to make sure that he's in a good place. We do believe in win-win. That's how our negotiation approach is. We want to make sure that a guy like Grady, who is very important for us on and off the field and very important to Dan as a player in the locker room for Dan Quinn and our coaching staff, we want to make sure we get that shored up.
That's done.
Yeah.
That's 90 million gone.
Well, I mean, it's at least 75 million if you want to base it. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be as big as – it's actually going to be bigger than Fletcher Cox's deal because, again, you're talking 3 years later and the price goes up and the rates go up and the salary cap space goes up. So let's get back to it. We're going to find ourselves in the exact same scenario as the year we took Vic Beasley over Gurley. Is it going to be need over best athlete? Because what happens if you see, like, you know, you got a potential Aaron Donald, you got a big comp, because you still got to find that Don Terry Poe size bigger compliment to Grady, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to do that guy, or you're going to say, I got to get offensive line. I can't keep slapping low budget free agents on this O-line with all the weapons I've got, and we can't get the ball 5 yards on the ground.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not complaining.
We're in the same situation.
I'm not going to complain because here's the other side of it. I'm simply saying, to me, there are very few things I'm confident when I hear Thomas Dimitroff say, simply because most times he's very guarded.
Right.
I just heard our general manager say on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Julio, done. Grady will be here and get paid. Those are two things I know right now. I don't know about the draft pick. I don't know what position.
I just can't. Well, that's about a 30-year cap space right there.
And that's my point.
I mean, if that's Pac-Man, there's the mouth.
Now, let me ask you this, Mike, because as we're down here and we're talking to all these guys, you know, NFL-related teams, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. Everybody wants good players. Everybody needs good players. Grady Jarrett's 25 years old, guys. I've said this. You don't move on from a guy you drafted and developed who's turned into a stud.
As a fifth rounder.
As a fifth rounder. You just don't do that. So you pay him, okay? The Julio situation is a little bit different only because of the age. I'm not going to tell you not to pay him. I told you guys if he balled out, pay this man. Okay, but now he's on the verge of being 30. I just don't think you can give him a long-term deal. And I said this, all of this money for the most part is going to be up front and within the first couple of years. So it doesn't hurt our team to take care of your own, but it hurts our team to go get the necessary pieces that we need in addition to taking care of our
own. Look, I mean, Julio had 7 games that he started the season without any touchdowns, and then they obviously got into a rhythm and he had another one of those monster career seasons. You know, so I get it. You've already said, you told Julio you're going to give him a bump. And I'm not again. And Matt, you know, Matt's not going to, in the second year of his deal, start moving money around. Because I got guys going, well, wasn't Matt move his money around? You know, you move your money around. You know, it's everybody wants to say, you get people's pockets over this. You know, guys' contracts are up. Guys got more money with contracts that exist. That's the point I'm trying to make to some of the Julio guys that wear those Julio pajamas when they go to bed at night. Moving forward, none of that means a damn if we don't have 2 or 3 guys that can block on this whole line. Because then Matt's going to continue to have great passing numbers, but we won't be able to run the ball, and we'll be another 7-9 season.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes, and specifically, you know, what it means for Matt Ryan. We've spent a lot of time today, and we'll continue to have great guests stopping by. Demonte KZ, by the way, he just stopped by, told us he's coming back through at 6 o'clock. All right, so Falcon fans, stay tuned as we'll talk to the safety of our team, who had a great year, by the way, around 6 tonight. Dan Marino's on the way. We're also going to talk to Akeem Hicks, big defensive tackle, who ate our lunch, by the way, a couple of years ago when we went to Chicago. He was a big part of that resurgence, the defensive side of the football in Chicago with Roquan, Khalil Mack. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock to talk about not only the Super Bowl, but other things NFL related.
Also, guys, as we rolled right through the 3 o'clock hour with Warwick Dunn, we had Reggie Wayne on with us, and Mike Holmgren jumped in, and he had some amazing things to say about our Super Bowl performance. So you'll want to definitely stick around for that. Then you've got Juju Smith-Schuster talking to the media here at Super Bowl week on First Take, saying the Steelers need to stop being the Kardashians. Wow. And I think we could all agree with that one. He goes, I think everyone has to stop being divas. I think we need to stop being the Kardashians and just play ball, said the team leader in receptions and yards, again, which got apparently Antonio Brown in his feelings. And when he says everyone on the team, I think that's directed at the quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, too, who sometimes likes to let his feelings play out in the media, not in the locker room.
It's so true. Let's take a quick 10-second break for station identification. We're going to come back, talk some more NFL in our NFL Blitz segment here live on Radio Row.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.